Hello, and welcome to Generation Goat number 21. I'm John Martin from songsthatsavedyourlife.com and shlisten.com, and with me is...
Christopher Clark from geekforce5.com.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, John.
We should probably start off by pointing out to people that this is a real episode of Generation Goat.
That's right. No auto-tuned wolves.
That's right, with all the quality that implies. So, depending on how you feel about the podcast, you can now go or stay.
Right.
But there will be no auto-tuned wolves.
That adjective, real, is... What does it mean in respect to our podcast? Yeah, that's an interesting question.
It's complicated. I suppose we could get into the theoretical implications a little bit later in the podcast when we want people to leave.
Yes. We should talk about something vaguely entertaining before we make them leave.
But anyway, should you have listened to our previous episode, 20.5, Kenneth T. Panis, we're sorry about that.
We are sorry about that. Although it is my understanding that at least one of our two listeners laughed. I have not spoken to the other one. So
that's true. So we did receive raucous laughter over Twitter, if that's possible.
Mm-hmm. And he reiterated that he laughed when I saw him in person last. So, you know, it wasn't just Twitter laughter, you know, which is easier to muster than real laughter, I think.
Well, there you go. Take that, detractors.
Is Twitter laughter more real? To talk about real, is Twitter laughter more real than LOL, like chat room laughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, because people can see Twitter laughter.
Right. Yeah, well, actually, you know, it's funny, to sound the nerd alarm, I play World of Warcraft, and a lot of large events need to be coordinated through a program called Ventrilo, which is like a voice chat that runs alongside the game. And there's a person in our little group who has taken to saying when something is funny, he's taken, instead of laughing, to saying, "Rawful." That needs to stop.
That it does need to
stop.
He didn't throw the anachronistic rafflecopter in there, did he?
No. But there are a fair amount of people who also go, "Lol." That also needs to stop. People, if you're saying it, you're already out loud. Just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh. Mm.
And if you're actually rolling on the floor, typing while you're rolling on the floor, that's a skill you should take on the road.
Yeah, or at least to the Jim Rose sideshow circus. But
Jim Rose circus. my eyes.
Yeah, that needs to stop. It's right up there in my list of pet peeves with people who suddenly started using whom but can't use it correctly. I love seeing it back. It makes me happy that it's come back. It's like, if Crystal Pepsi and OK Soda returned, I'd be psyched.
Right.
But if you can't do it right, just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not hard, people.
Yeah, it has become acceptable for who to be used in both places, right?
Well, I mean, not
maybe not acceptable.
But it's acceptable, but it's not grammatically standard. But whatever. That drives me crazy. And for the love of God, newspapers, stop putting an extraneous S after singular possessives that end in S. It doesn't need to be there. Stop it.
And you were worried you had nothing to talk about.
This week on Grammar Talk. Sorry, everyone. I'm a little sleepy, so I'm a little cranky. But
there is a whole website called Grammar Girl. So, you know,
it's true. Yeah.
There are people who are geeky about that.
Actually, it's funny, there's a blog of extraneous quotation marks, and we were showing a friend around recently, and we took him up to someone's beach house, and right near there, there's a sign that says, in quotes, "live lobsters." It does make you wonder just a little bit.
It is my understanding that the person who started that site is a friend of a friend.
Oh, really?
I'd wondered how I had stumbled across it, and I think it was actually through my friend. She said, "Oh, you got to check this out.
We should talk, because that sign is on the blog and it's right next to the beach house. So it'd be interesting to see who that is." But anyway, yeah. So April Fool's joke accomplished.
Yes.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, well, you know.
Take it up to you. We've got auto-tune. Never mind.
Right. You know, here's the thing. Sorry to them. Sorry to us. What the hell are we going to do next time?
I know. Grammar talk.
Grammar talk. Grammar talk, yeah.
Heard it here first.
I mean, the thing is, like, for That Little Bastard and for Geek Force 5, I've done the April Fool's thing pretty much, like, once each. And then you just can't. I'm no Google. I can't really come up with anything beyond that.
I don't know. Maybe if we get really desperate, I'll just break out my master's degree and do an Old Norse lecture. Just a straight up lecture.
That might not be a bad idea. You know,
actually, sorry.
No, I'm just going to go the complete opposite route and do something that's not meant to be funny. Just
there was a really funny moment actually in my Old Norse studies. My first week of translation classes, about 30 of us were in this class, and we had been translating a bit of, well, you wouldn't know it, but it's called Skaldskaparmál, and there's this business about Loki, and Loki is trying to disguise himself. And amuse some giants. There's a whole complicated side story there, but yeah. In his disguise, he comes to a great feast that they're having, and there's a goat there, so that's kind of related.
Yeah.
And he ties a part of his body to the goat and then hits the goat, and the goat runs in the other direction, and then he falls down and he shrieks and everyone laughs. Now, when I had this class, the first question she said, okay, are there any questions about the translation? 20 hands go up in the class. Yes. Yeah, but this word here, is that testicles? Yes. 20 hands go down. pretty amazing stuff. So I'm sure we could find something funny.
Yes. Yes. The idea of Loki is funny, I think. And the idea of what Loki has turned into, although I guess he's turned back, it's my understanding, because I'm only reading trade paperbacks at this point of Marvel Comics, but for a while, Loki was a girl.
Sure.
And that was very amusing.
Which is his trouble. Yeah. So anyway, we'll have to, we'll think of something for...
We will. We promise that there... Well, first we have to get to the next April in terms
and,
of...
I know, it's going to be like two or three whole episodes between...
Yes.
That's...
We're just talking like, you know, most people do plan a few episodes in the future, so it's not unrealistic for us to...
We'll say two or three, you know, yep. let's aim, you know, conservatively.
Right, yeah.
So, but there was another anniversary this week, actually.
There is, tomorrow. There's, or yesterday, last night would have been the anniversary of my gay friend almost getting us kicked out of, a strip club 10 years ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, tomorrow is my 10th wedding anniversary, of course, the evening I was referring to, last night would have been the 10th anniversary of my bachelor party.
I should make it clear to the listeners that I don't go to these places. I'm not like you, who has
been into one in many, many moons.
Period of his life where he went fairly often. Not just to one, but to the sketchiest one around, Ricca. But there was something really funny that happened, because of your gay friend.
Everyone's got one, right?
We were sitting there. Now, I should tell the listener, your dad was there. Uncle and like cousins and stuff. And that was just uncomfortable on so many levels.
But cousins the same age is not uncomfortable.
Okay, but your dad? If my dad were alive and I were so inclined, he would probably go with me because that was my dad. But so I understand, but.
Right.
So. Yeah, at one point, some member of the retinue decided to have two dancers, shall we call them?
Mm-hmm. That's a very polite way of putting it.
Is that the word? To come over at the same time. And your gay friend, who was several beers in by this point, turned to me and whispered, "That's really hot." Proving I think that the whole world, in fact, loves. Anyway...
Well, what I remember, not just that part, which you had to relate to me afterward because I was not within earshot, but another friend came in during that performance, and the only way to greet this friend was for the gay friend to stand up on the couch behind us and to walk across the couch behind us to get to the friend who had just walked in. And, of course, the bouncers no liked that.
No.
Anything that might suggest that you might assault the dance. This was not at the sketchy one. Maybe at the sketchy one that would have flown. This was at the high end one in Tingsboro that's now an Italian restaurant.
I see. They just went full on mafia. I get it.
I think so. Well, I mean, it's my recollection that having grown up around here that that the city of Tingsboro wanted that place closed from pretty much the moment it opened, and it was some technicality that finally, a couple of years after my wedding, finally got it closed down.
You know, the weird thing is, when I was in high school, we had a certain U.S. history teacher mm-hmm. who was going through a divorce who would come into class and tell us that he had just been there the night before, so he was tired. And then he would, like, answer questions about it, which, you know, is not entirely appropriate.
Now, see, that would be an interesting... That's not as... Well...
I should try it with my freshmen just to mess with them.
Nothing is really as disturbing as this. Our friend Ken Mills.
Ken Mills?
Yeah, he lives.
I wish we had auto-tuned Ken.
All we'd need is a tape of him. I'm sure we have that somewhere.
Anyway, right.
So Ken told me... Ken and I become friends again once every, like, 5 years or so. Like, we befriend each other again, and we hang out for 10 minutes or a day. And
oh, so kind of like us.
Yes, except Morris is a couple times a year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so Ken says to me once that he can't go there on one of these brief reunions, that he can't go there anymore because there are students at the place he works at that work there.
I had a classmate who was there,
and I was I don't know how
I sat next to her like a couple of days later, and I'm just like, do I need singles? It was very uncomfortable. I think I moved my seat anyway.
Well, so what I was gonna say is that I think the age for, well, I'm not sure about the age of the performers, but the age of the people who could attend such that particular place went down sometime after.
Is it like 12 now?
Yeah. No, and then sometime probably after high school is what I was going to say. So it would have been a different experience to have the history teacher say that, and you'd be like, yeah, I saw you there.
Yeah, not cool. Yeah. It was very odd. He had all kinds of weird stories. He would come in because he was going through a bad divorce, and so he would just tell us about what was going on, and we were like, that's great. Can we study history now? Because it's an AP class and we'd like to pass. Yeah, actually, it was pretty bad. We got the worst batch of grades on the AP test that any group in our high school's history had received.
Jesus.
I got a 5, but still. I beat the class valedictorian, which is just a testament to how poor that teaching was.
Yeah, well... yes, we went to, what is this? Sorry, I found something on my desk and I didn't know what it was. We did go to a strip club the night of my bachelor party, but I kind of remember that, but the thing that I remember more is the dinner beforehand, which was at,
Outback,
near the cinema in Lowell. And I remember, they asked me to order a drink the first thing. Before I had an appetizer, before whatever, I sat down and everyone was there ahead of me. And they, you know, had a drink. Maybe guys even had a drink ready for me. I don't know.
We were trying to have fun.
Yeah.
And we knew it would stop. So we got there early.
Yeah. You knew it would stop when I showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do kind of suck the fun out of things.
That's our podcast. Yeah. No, it's true. We had a drink for you.
And then I had to order one of everything on the drink menu. And each time I had to... There was a special term for adding a shot to... a special Outback term for adding a shot to every drink. And that had to happen with every drink.
I don't remember what that could be. Let's just call it the Full-On Hogan.
Yes. So I had many Full-On Hogans. And then was... then was drunk... for about, well, so I guess I wasn't drunk. I was severely buzzed for about half an hour. And
I should point out that's Paul, not Hulk, of course, you know, to be culturally relevant. Yeah, but what was weirder about that is apparently the bachelorette party had chosen the same venue for their dinner. We ran into them at the bar.
There was one of them there for sure. She was there and gone before I showed up. And I think the bachelorette party happened some other day, or maybe they had multiple ones.
Well, there were about three members of your bachelorette party there, and they quickly turned around and said, "Oh, we'll go." Conversing with ourselves and the gay friend and a couple people.
My only knowledge of bachelorette party is that was the one time that my wife thought about getting a tattoo.
Awesome.
Just disturbing. Like, and that's apparently as wild as that got. They were thinking about going to get tattoos.
That's clearly the kind of event at which you want to go get a tattoo, you know, when you're good and sober.
Yeah. I don't, and maybe this is just me as a guy. I can't imagine bachelorette parties getting as cliched and getting into the sort of same cliched debauchery as
men. I don't know. A lot of people I know, it seems to be exactly the same.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm not really sure why we have an event built into the week before the wedding for either gender where you're like, let's flirt with infidelity just to see what happens. You know, like, I'm not sure what that's all about, but it does seem to be fairly common.
Yeah, I can kind of understand the impulse to separate into groups, maybe not even along gender lines. It's at some point that, like, you've got so many people involved in the damn process of the wedding that separating into groups just to sort of blow off steam in the middle of what is pretty much, you know, it's a stressful week. It's not unlike, Hell Week for a theater production, depending on the size of it. So, I mean, I can understand, like, dividing into groups, but why it's always along gender lines and why it always involves, as you say, flirting with infidelity is kind of beyond me. At that point in my life, I was certainly pretty interested in going to the strip club. I won't deny that.
It's true. And they all greeted you like Norm at Cheers.
They did not. That could potentially. There is one right down the street from my house, I suppose in a theoretical world, that could happen. I could be Norm at the strip. I think there's always a charge at these places just to get in, and you know, it's like I'm not going to a. Sometimes I'm not there. You know, there is a bar. And it's just so happens that he's the closest bar to me. So
sure, yeah,
I can understand if people wanted to go in there. People from my little neighborhood or other neighborhoods.
Sure, you just go there for the drinks. That's all. You're not there for anything else. In fact, when you're sitting at the bar, you spend all your time going, "Honey, could you just? I'm having a drink. Keep this clothes on. It's a little distracting."
All I'm trying to say is that
it's with my grandmother.
And actually, there might be. I think there is a sports bar that's attached to it. There should be an area of these places where you don't get the entertainment and you just get the drinks. Because why not?
Sure.
I'm not even sure where I'm going at this point. We should probably move on because there are other things that this is the 10th anniversary of, and I'd rather think about those than the.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Actually, I think what was more fun with the whole wedding thing was making the programs the night before.
Yeah.
Because then we could have an 80s dance party in my room while we made wedding programs, which was kind of fun.
It was fun, and not to get like completely sappy on the thing, but it was fun and it was calming. Because the one thing that happens during, or happened to me, I can't speak for everyone, is that I just got incredibly stressed out and to like hang out with a friend and do something as silly as put programs together and listen to 80s music was, I don't know if I could have gotten to sleep that night had we not had the problem of the program getting completely changed the night before the
service. That was interesting. I like to think it was the healing power of Wham that afforded us a good night's sleep, but it could have been making the programs.
Yeah, there was that. And I think we made the programs and then we went back to the, we stopped at Little Peach or Tedeschi's or whatever it was called at that point to get Slush Puppies. And then we went back to
Sure.
To a hotel that no longer is, or kind of is, but the castle-like hotel up there in Nashua. I think I was working on my vows before I went to sleep.
I think so. You had like a whole bunch of napkins.
Yeah. Which is pretty much what my brother did when it came to the best man's toast as well. Although I don't even think he had the napkins. I think it might have been in the back of his hand.
Yeah. Well, you know. Should have come with the simple, gentle eloquence of Stephanie. Fucking A.
Yes. It was pretty close to that. There was the fucking was not present, but yeah.
Ah well. Yeah, that was an interesting time. So congrats on the 10 years coming up.
Thanks. Yeah, we're heading away for the weekend. So
where are you going?
We're going to Wentworth by the Sea up in, it's not in Portsmouth, but it's right near there. Newcap? No. I don't know what town it is technically.
Sure.
But it was where I proposed to her when it was still an abandoned kind of place, which we had visited when we were in college.
Awesome.
So, it's pretty cool. We're going away for that. So I've been working my behind off to catch up on things because we're going Saturday and Sunday, which means that Monday, when I would normally do work, we'll be, you know, picking up the kids and recovering.
So where are the kids going to stay?
They're going to my parents, which is... You know, you ask Kaylee about it, and she is excited about the sleepover. She has no knowledge that the fact that she's sleeping over has to do with
right
a happy event of some sort. It's just a sleepover.
Right.
But what do you expect? She's fine.
Well, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're doing that. And then, after that, semester wraps up, and things get easier.
Finals. I was just grading some essays yesterday, and I uncovered the most egregious plagiarism I think I've yet uncovered. It was 30 instances in 3 pages.
Mm.
And, I mean, this is a person who's, like, misspelling character names, not using punctuation, and yet somehow manages to use the words occlude and imbricate. You know, it's kind of a... if you're going to plagiarize, don't insult my intelligence moment. I mean, you know, wow.
The one I had last year was literally 2 articles that the person found on the internet pasted together into one document with their name slapped on top. Awesome. No attempt to make a transition between the two of them. Nothing. Just.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I'm not looking forward to grading finals. Just.
Yeah. I had forgotten about that part.
But,
or I'm trying not to think about it.
Yeah. Ugh. You know, so I wrote to the student, right? And I'm like, okay, well, here's why you got a 0. And here's, you know, all the list of things you did wrong. And, you know, on the off chance you just don't understand what plagiarism is, go review all the stuff on citation. And here's the thing about plagiarism. And she wrote me back with no punctuation, mostly misspelled, all in lowercase, thus furthering her cause, I guess, and said, "I'm sorry you think I cheated. I respect your decision." Like, what?
I'm amazed. There are students who, it seems to me, like, literally don't care if they get the 0.
I know.
Like, they don't care if they get the 0, if they fail, if they, like, whose money is this that they are...
It's crazy, right? Like, and it's 20% of their grade.
I've got a student, and she's been showing up all semester and hasn't turned in a paper yet.
Yep.
And
I guarantee you, at the end of the semester, she'll be like, "Well, you can't fail me, I came to class all the time."
Yeah. Well, she didn't show up to the last class, and I'm wondering whether she'll be there tomorrow. If she's not there tomorrow, I think I may... You know, she may finally have decided that...
I had a kid do that to me, actually. My syllabus kind of, like, breaks down, like, what the general characteristics of A, work is, and B, and C, and so on. You know, and F, it's just like, well, you didn't come to class, you didn't do the work, no said, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a kid who came to something like 35% of my classes when I looked at the attendance thing.
Right.
Who handed in no work.
Yeah.
Right? And then I failed him because he failed.
Right.
And he came to me all mad at my office hours and like slammed his thing down on my desk and was like, "You can't fail me. How goddamn dare you?" And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "I came to class."
Mm.
Like, okay, about 35% of the time, yeah. Well, this thing says you didn't come to class, you didn't do the work. That's an F, but I came to class, so you have to give me a D.
I'm like, it's wonderful that that's what they're shooting for.
I'm like, you put a lot of thought into that. If only you could have put that much thought into your 2-page assignments. But it's 35% of the time, Chief. Passing is 65. So even if I'm trying to pass you on attendance, you still failed. And his mom came down to yell at me, and like they went to see the dean, and I had to go see the dean and be like, "He's an asshole." And the dean was like, "Oh, yes, so he is. Thank you." Very frustrating.
I mean, it can be a rewarding career. It can also be
right now.
Yeah,
he says, hoping that no future employers have made it to the 27th minute of Generation Goat.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a rewarding career, but there are moments, and I think any teacher will say this, that just defy explanation.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes me feel older all the time teaching, because I spend half my time when students do stupid stuff like that going, "For the love of God, when I was a student, there's no way you would do that."
Mm.
You know, like, I've officially become back in my day.
Yeah. And I don't think we're off in saying that. I think something...
We're old.
Yeah. Yes. Fuck yes. I mean, I'm having a 10-year wedding anniversary. Like, that's a wonderful, blessed, you know, whatever thing. But goddamn, that means...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend in Cambridge, England, yesterday, and we were talking about people we know, and, you know, he was just like, "Yeah, and this person's getting married, and this person's getting married, and that person's having a kid, and this other person's getting married." I'm like, okay, they're all, like, 6 years younger than me.
Yeah.
That feels good. I got my life together. I got a PhD that's in the shambles right now. Yay! Yeah, getting old. Let's move away from this topic as fast as we can.
Yes, let's talk about...
we went to a concert, and that's something young people
do. Yes, that's that great minds think alike, because I was thinking concert.
We're hip.
You went to at least 2 concerts that I... Yeah. That one plus at least one more, or were there 2 more?
I was sore the next day both times, which is unfortunate, but yeah.
Forget about the soreness, forget about the day after.
You rocked out.
Yeah, we went, well, of course, we were, the day we recorded the last, well, the last official GOAT, because the April Fool's one.
I haven't been to three, yeah. Sucker.
The day we recorded the last one, we went to see Telekinesis.
Yeah.
And then you saw
Iron... on April Fool's Day.
Oh, yes, right. Mountain Goats and Iron and Wine was the other one.
The Mountain Goats were amazing. Totally worth doing, and there's a... I made a few posts back now on the front page with a few songs, but there's a link to NYC Taper, and there's a great bootleg of...
What was the name of that one that you... Is that... Maybe you were just going to say it.
You Were Cool was...
Yes, yes, yes.
Which I loved. It was so good. And he originally released it just by Twitter. It was going to be on the album, then didn't fit with the album, so...
Yeah.
So it was that on Twitter, and it's awesome. It's unbelievably cool. So if you're listening to this, and I guess you'd have to be for me to tree falling in the woods moment there. Sorry. Go Google You Were Cool, yeah, and get it, or get it from my site, listen.com, because it's unbelievably cool.
Mm. Yeah, I dug that one quite a bit.
And someday
they will have a concert that's not on my daughter's birthday.
That's right. That was not cool of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could have brought her and put her at the coat check.
That's true. Where was the show?
Paradise. That's Paradise. It was actually really fun. They had a band called Megafon open, FAUN, and they were quite good. I think they were from North Carolina originally. Mm-hmm. And I think. But they were quite cool, and they were fun, and they did kind of like a melange of like folk and indie folk and like Americana rock kind of stuff. It was really good. And they hung out pretty much the whole rest of the night right below us watching the mountain goats. So we get to get in and chat with them for a bit. And they were all good folk, so look them up. And
yes. I'm not on to a good show of that kind. I'm trying to think of the right word to describe it. I think you just used all the right genres to describe it.
Yeah.
I need to get good. When is that new album out, or is it out now?
What? The Mountain Goats?
They have a new album coming out?
The Mountain Goats put out their album on April 8th, I think.
That's
not true. It was March 27th. March 27th.
At least two albums now that I have. Because the R.E.M. album, which I listened to through Shoe Listen.
Where can these professionals always pay off?
I still need to actually get that. I listened to it and loved it. So now I got to do the Mountain Goats too. It's back when I was a e-music subscriber. I was pretty much getting every Mountain Goats thing I could get my hands on.
It's good stuff, I tell you.
Yeah. I picked up just yesterday the 8 and 8 album that Amanda Palmer, Neil Gaiman, Ben Folds, and one of the guys from OK Go put together.
That was quite fun to watch, wasn't it?
It was. It was just to watch the whole process, because I've done things like the RPM Challenge and seen people do things like that and 40-Hour Film Project and all these things. To see them sort of challenge themselves to do that when they're used to the sort of long, drawn-out album process was pretty cool. To hear the multiple songs going on, you know, they're working on, I think it was Because the Origami in One Room, and they go over, and the guy from OK Go, who I can't remember his name, he's over there working on a song on his iPad, and then I got the sense that at some point, because of Amanda's voice not doing well and what have you, that maybe they would get Neil to sing. Because she'd been teasing, saying Neil has a great voice, Neil should sing, and he sings on the final track of the album, which is a hoot. It was really cool to watch. And they didn't make their 8 songs, they made 6, and it took them 12 hours instead of 8, but hey.
Still a heck of a lot better than I could do.
Yeah, a heck of a lot better than I could do. Heck of a lot better than lots of people could do. So I've been rocking the telekinesis quite a bit.
That was quite a thing.
Yeah, we almost missed it. Well, we didn't almost miss it, but we were back and forth between the room where the concert was happening and a side room where there was some pool tables. And it was only sort of out of the corner of my ear that I heard the beginning of Please Ask for Help. And so there's that drum beat that starts that song off, and I'm like, wait a minute. And I sort of peeked out, and they had just started. So yeah, we made it in there. Great encores there too.
Definitely.
For a band that only has a couple of albums out, it was well chosen what to end with.
It was a really fun time.
Tokyo has been in my head off and on pretty much ever since. Tokyo is fantastic.
Yeah, that was nice. And we went, you know, we had a couple old friends there, and that was cool. And
yeah,
very nice hangout. It's a shame that T.T. the Bear's place where it was has a dance floor underneath it, which is something that came up, you know, during the show. It's like, does it always sound like that?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does. He tried to do, what was it, one of the acoustic songs. He tried to change the rhythm specifically to match the drum beat coming up.
Yeah. We should point out, actually, that 8 and 8 thing is at music.amandapalmer.net/album. Yes.
Yep.
So,
and the first 2 weeks, all the proceeds above and beyond, it's on Bandcamp, or it's sold through Bandcamp through Amanda's site. And after the $1 minimum donation, everything is going to a charity. I can't remember which one, but
something about feeding kids in Boston, or homeless children, or orphans, or one of those.
Yeah.
Things that, you know, is nice. So just do it. Just go do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, even if all you give is, well, give more than the buck. That's
awesome. No, I'm sorry. I'm entirely wrong. Forget hungry kids. It goes to BerkeleyCityMusicNetwork.org, which provides kids with, I guess, music classes and lessons and things.
So that eventually they'll be starving artists.
That's right.
They're not starving yet, but
it makes hungry children, but doesn't immediately deal with the problem of hungry children.
It's, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's a great album. I dig it a lot. And I'm digging a lot, you know, I love Bandcamp. I'm finding all sorts of stuff there.
I like it. I really like it. I get so many music submissions through Bandcamp, you know, people with Bandcamp pages and whatnot. And I really like it. I really need to start posting some of those. But, you know, it's not like I'm running a music website over here.
Yeah. It's not like you have a dissertation, PhD thing to finish.
Oh, it's so much fun. So take that. We went and saw concerts, and I did see Iron and Wine, which was very cool. It's really strange now because of the last album. You know, he's got 11 people on stage with him, and you know, you think of those first few albums as kind of like stripped down, kind of quiet affairs, and you know, the last couple, the last one sounds like it should be on 70s radio, you know, this most recent one, and it's really weird to have 11 people on stage playing some of those songs, because they've all been reworked, you know, to fit the format, and I mean, there were moments where it was like, wait, is this Pink Floyd or Iron and Wine?
I think I remember you tweeting that or...
I was not sure. But it was good either way. And Rhode Island's own Low Anthem opened for them, and they were great. They were absolutely amazing. Another kind of like indie folk Americana thing, which is quite popular these last couple of years, I guess. And they were so good. I immediately wanted to purchase everything they ever put out. So they just did a show on NPR. So you can find that at NPR Music. I think it was Mountain Stage that they did it. So you can check it out. It was really good.
Why do you think it is that the Americana indie folk thing has taken off? Because I love that stuff. But why do you think it's taken off?
My personal feeling about it is that... you know, we, like, from the late 80s through the last decade, we went through a fairly long period where what was mainstream was very overproduced, very, you know, computerized and artificial in a lot of ways. And
yeah.
I mean, we still have that, right? I mean, Lady Gaga still sells albums.
Yes.
But I think that if you're, you know, it's kind of like being in the alternative movement in the late 70s and the 80s, you know, when you're dealing with, as a kid, music that older people listen to that's very, very, you know, processed and overproduced. I mean, I think the tendency there is to react by putting together something that's a little more organic and a little more, you know, whatnot. I mean, that's my feeling. And so it's, I think, partly, you know, boosted by the fact that there's this overprocessed trend. But I also think that, you know, it is actually kind of radical right now to put together music with complicated harmonies and, you know, complicated instrumentation, because so much is the opposite. You know, just thinking about the much hyped and deservedly so new Fleet Foxes album, which you can hear on NPR right now. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful. I love it. I love this album. But I mean, there are moments where you're like, wow, this could be a Crosby, Stills, Nash album. Like, you know, I can totally hear it.
Yeah.
And, It's cool. I like it. I like seeing, you know, more of an emphasis on craft and harmony. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those things where, you know, a few people do it really well and then a lot of people want to do it, you know. It's
like, right. Which is always going to happen with the music industry, but with any entertainment industry, somebody sees someone do it.
I don't know. But I'm pretty excited about it. And yeah, Iron and Wine, they did a hell of a show, but it was a little strange at times. Like,
well, 11 people on stage is just strange.
Yeah,
for any kind of pop or rock concert.
And I mean, you gotta give them stuff to do, but yeah, it's probably the most people I've seen on stage since Pink Floyd. You know, and it was a little weird. A couple of the songs were about 10 minutes long, and there was some kind of like noodling and experimentation in them, and you're like, all right, making Adam Hart Mother, I'm gonna die. But yeah, so no, so it was a good time. So yeah, we're hip. Take that. Yeah.
Good time to check out music.
What else do young people like? They like movies.
They do like movies.
Characters.
Um,
right?
Yes.
Do young people still like that?
Young people like the movies based on comic book characters more than they like the comic books.
You sure it's the young people like those movies? It's not just like middle-aged people trying to be young again?
It could be. but based on the fact that they're still putting Thor on Slurpee cups, you know, at the 7-Eleven.
Oh, Thor.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, thanks to the 7-Eleven sponsorship, there was a whole video sort of behind the scenes of Thor that was actually pretty illuminating, except for the only thing that was aggravating about it, or maybe amusing, was the fact that the 7-Eleven sign popped up, because there was a 7-Eleven sign about to be blown up in this action sequence they were filming.
Crazy.
Fortunately, that 7-Eleven was not in Asgard. It was on Earth.
That would be unfortunate. Actually, fun Thor fact. Sorry, I'm practicing for April Fool's Day. Do you know why salmon have that body shape where it's kind of hourglass and it comes back in and goes back out again?
No.
It's because of Thor.
Because of Thor, the hammer?
In Skaldskaparmál, Loki runs away from Thor and he turns himself into a fish to swim away. But Thor, being Thor, grabs the fish and holds the fish and squeezes it and makes it that shape. So salmon are now that shape because of Thor.
As a Thor. Is there anything that Thor is not indirectly responsible?
I don't know if he puts that in his resume. Also, salmon, you're welcome. I'd like to see the comic book adventure where that happens.
Where that happens. You know, there is a feature on, I think it's iFanboy, where they bring up very strange panels from comic books past, and that would be one to search out and see if there is, because I mean Stan Lee, you know, brought some really weird shit into his comics.
Can you just see with the rest of the Avengers and they're like, "What the hell are you doing?" "Oh, it's a fish thing. I've got to do it." Every 500 years or so, this is something I got to do.
Salmon, you know, people like the salmon.
If I don't do this, they just look like trout.
Are there other things that Thor is responsible for that we should know about, that we should be looking for when we go watch the movie next
week? Probably the best one.
That's probably the best one.
That's your fun Thor fact.
So if we see some fish, you know.
If he's eating salmon, you can giggle.
And I will. If there are any fish in the movie at all, now I'm going to have a hard time keeping a straight face.
I think it's great. There's definitely something to be said for being the only person laughing at a joke in the movie theater.
There is.
Which happened to me. Actually, I saw the Team America movie when I was still in Cambridge in the UK.
Yeah.
And one of the puppets turns to another puppet and, you know, exclaims, "Kapla," which is Klingon, meaning, you know, success or victory, I guess. And, you know, I'm a nerd, surprise. And so one of them said that, and I went, "Ha, ha, ha, ha," and everybody in the theater went,
"What is wrong with you?"
Like, it's Klingon. It's funny because it's fuck. Yeah, that was a good time.
Well, are you going to go see Thor?
Yeah, we should go see Thor.
We should. I don't know when if that comes out in the 7th.
I think so.
Something like that. And I'm teaching on that day, unfortunately. Well, fortunately. Actually, that's my class that I really like. Oh, the 6th. The 6th is a Friday. And I think I'm going to be seeing a lot of these movies this summer, which is frightening because last summer there were not that many. And this summer there's at least one a month that I have to see.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
As a sort of comic book geek, but there's getting to the point where there are maybe at least two a month, and that, you know, on my
well, list. I mean, if you could deign to go with me, I can get us free tickets.
This is true, and I think I can deign
for free tickets to come.
Yeah. I think I can deign. I can do the Hamlet. No, that's not the same thing. That's not even the same spelling, is it?
No,
but our students who are listening to this who can't spell and plagiarize, they appreciated that joke.
Right now they're looking for the movie version of this podcast. like most people, the silent movie version of this podcast.
Yeah.
There is something we should do.
That is something we should do.
That would be exciting. A little short, like Chaplin-esque film with title cards.
Mm.
We could 48-hour get film project. Music for it underneath. Mm. He could be the little pianist underneath the theater. Even that would be super exciting. We should do a silent movie podcast.
That would be good. I'm game for that. You know, I think we could gain some followers on the YouTubes or something.
But no, maybe not. If we do that and it becomes a visual medium, we have to get two things. We have to get a wolf, and we have to get one of those little microphones that T-Pain has.
That's true. I've seen too many speakers with those things. So there's the one that like that's very obviously there are the ones that are sort of very obviously a microphone that are closer to what like a football coach would wear, and then there are the ones that are so almost not there that they kind of look like a stick that's stuck to someone's cheek. Which one are you thinking?
The bigger one. It's a wolf. It needs to be a more visual gag, I think. Yeah. It has to be extra long though because it has a snout.
Right.
Because it's... Wow, this is boring. And some movies. So Thor,
yeah, yes,
and Captain
and Captain America.
Which, you know, could be fun.
Yeah.
I never liked Captain America in comics, I must say. I tried to read Captain America as a book, and, you know, inevitably there'd be crossover events like the Infinity Crusade or something, and I'd have to pick up Cap so I could see the one panel out of, you know, however many pages that's something to do with the Infinity Crusade.
Right. Did you love how they did that?
Yeah.
You
know,
slap a little logo on the book, and they made us buy every damn thing.
It's true. And, I mean, working or being around a comic book store at the time, you know... Yeah. Yep. So that was a good time, but
I do like him in the Ultimate Universe a little bit better. And there were a couple of storylines I picked up in the regular Marvel U that I dug Cap. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the movie. I like the origin story more than I like sort of modern day Cap, and this seems like it's going to be the origin story. So.
Well, I mean, that could be interesting. I mean, I'm just thinking about other Captain America films, which, yikes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like other Punisher films or that god-awful Ghost Rider.
Yeah. There was a guy, I was really surprised to see him, I think Jeff Loeb. Yeah, uh-huh. Jeff Loeb was on iFanboy the other day talking about Marvel films and pointed out the difference between like the Ghost Riders and the whatevers and the Iron Mans and such as an example of what happens when Marvel takes care of it themselves or when it's shopped out to someone else. It's not a perfect example because while I love big parts of it, the Incredible Hulk is a Marvel, not the Ang Lee one, which was just Hulk, but the Incredible Hulk has its problems. And some people don't dig Iron Man 2 or parts of it. So
I liked it, but I preferred the original. I thought the original was a little more cohesive, and this one felt much more like we are now setting up a universe of stories.
Yeah, and that's what I worry about with these. So we've got Thor and Cap that'll be feeding into the Avengers. Not so much the X-Men film, which is still being produced by Fox. That comes out. That comes out in between. I was going to say that comes out later, but I actually think it comes out in between those two. But yeah, I think with Thor and I've already seen some stuff in Thor that I know is universe building. Supposedly Hawkeye appears in like 10 seconds of a shot that appeared online recently where he is up in sort of a crane monitoring the area where the hammer has fallen to Earth. And there's a guy with a bow, and that's Hawkeye.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's definitely going to be some universe building, but hopefully it's not going to be so... and, of course, even in the Cap trailer, you've got Tony Stark's dad sort of purposefully called out and things like that, so...
It'll be interesting. You know, it's funny how we haven't mentioned DC movies at all, because the Green Lantern, of course, is coming out, and who cares?
Yeah, no, I don't care. I mean, I've never been a DC. Never been a DC fan.
Excepting Batman. Yeah, just no.
Yeah, I mean Batman, and I've always wanted to see a great Superman story, and have yet to see one. Because I think Superman is an awesome character.
Yeah.
And I do like Smallville, despite its flaws, and there are many of them.
I have never seen an episode of Smallville.
Yeah, I don't know that you could slog through that. even just a season is hard to slog through sometimes because they are notorious for filler episodes.
Yeah.
But on the grand scheme of things, it's a pretty interesting arc. Anyway, I would love to see a great Superman movie.
Well, and we have this is working on the Superman.
Yeah,
Sick.
And the guy he's got, Henry Cavill, who was on the Tudors, he's I think he's well suited for it. And he's going for, it seems like him and Snyder, who's directing it, and Nolan's brother, I think, who's writing it, they're going for something that's maybe even a little, that's at least borrowing a little bit from what Smallville was successful in, and that's from making things a little younger.
Yeah.
So, like, Smallville's Ma and Pa Kent were younger. They were the dude from Dukes of Hazzard and the Annette, is it Annette O'Toole? No.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who was Lana Lang in one of the Superman movies. So, like, they're young. Yeah. And for the Superman movie that Nolan's doing, they've got Kevin Costner and Diane Lane as the parents, probably in a flashback, I'm guessing.
Kevin Costner as Jor-El.
Yeah, well, not as Jor-El, but as Pa Kent.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That makes a little more sense.
Yeah, yeah, I'd be a little worried if Costner had to pull off Jor-El. So, I mean, it could be very cool. But the Green Lantern thing, I don't know. He's such a goofy...
I just don't care.
He's a goofy character to begin with. And Ryan Reynolds is a goofy actor. And it looks so computer graphics heavy in all the bad ways.
Yeah, sorry, DC fans, if you're out there. We just think your universe is boring.
Yeah, well, and that's not to say, like, DC is responsible for Vertigo, and I'd kill to see Vertigo movies or series, you know, like above Marvel series. There's so much dramatic potential in something like Fables or something like Sandman, to go way back, and Why the Last Man. I'd love to see that stuff, but DC proper. But I mean, Dark Knight Rises. You know.
Gotta give it up for that. But
or Dark Knight Rising, whichever one it is.
Mm.
Which is, I'm not fond of the title, but...
Well, what are you going to do?
But, I mean, you couldn't make it and call it the Caped Crusader. Like, what? You're running out of, you know... You're running out of titles. And, of course, they're not going to bring Robin into it, so it couldn't be Batman.
I hope not. I really hope not.
No, I mean, I think Bale has pretty much said, I will not do a Batman movie with Robin in it. And
I could see them possibly bringing Dick Grayson into it, but... Yeah. Please, for the love of God, don't turn him into Robin. Just don't do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think these three movies will be a very... I have every faith in him, and I think he'll put together what will amount to a very good trilogy. And he's made good points. Like, when was the last time you saw a third movie in a trilogy that was any good?
That's a good question.
You know, so he's got the odds working against him, but I still have faith.
Not Terminator, not X-Men, Spider-Man, certainly not the Star Wars prequels. Not Star Trek.
All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets, you know.
That's true.
I'm just kidding.
But it did have Boba Fett.
It did have Boba Fett.
Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
In a bikini.
Yes. The source of many, many Gen X fantasies.
Yeah, yeah. That whole thing is like a whole subculture. Somebody pointed me to a blog the other day, which was just a catalog of slave Leias from
Pop. Oh my god!
I didn't bookmark it. I don't want people to get the wrong idea, but I was amazed to discover that this thing existed.
Yeah,
and that it was like 200 pages of, you know, entries.
How many entries per page?
Like 10. So,
thousand.
I mean, good lord. I guess you can infer from that like one in two women has a slave Leia bikini somewhere in her house.
Yeah.
Word.
That's a wonderful thought. No.
I have two daughters, so that's got to keep you up at night eventually.
Eventually, not now.
Not now, that would just be wrong. But eventually that's going to keep you up at night.
Yeah, yeah. They have not discovered Jedi yet. They're still... well... Some people would consider even worse that they're still stuck on Disney movies, but whatever.
I watched a Disney movie a couple weeks ago, and I liked it, which is embarrassing for me because it has Mandy Moore in it.
Oh, you saw Tangled.
I did see Tangled, and I liked it. I thought it was actually much more like earlier Disney films, except, you know, with some nice things. At least it had a strong heroine, and and songs weren't bad, despite, you know, who was singing them. And
despite them being Mandy Moore, yeah. No, I dug that one a lot, and I'm actually thankful that it came around, because I like the music of The Princess and the Frog, and I like...
Damn it, we just forfeited our cred from the concert thing.
Yes. Sorry, let's move on. I like some of the stuff that's been around that my daughter watched.
I don't like cartoons. Cartoons are for kids, lady.
Well, Disney cartoons, but other cartoons are geeky and give you some cred.
Yeah, let's talk about heavy metal.
I was going to say heavy metal was not one of the ones that we were, or maybe it was. I remember that coming on at the comic book store, and then it got paused for a second, and it was like, "Do not tell your parents that we're letting you watch this." As if my parents would have any fucking idea what heavy metal was.
Yeah, I do remember, because I met them when I was like 12.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're going to watch this movie, but you can't watch it. Like, why? you just can't. Well, thanks, guys. All right, we'll let you watch it, but when we say you have to leave, you have to leave.
Does anything even really raunchy happen to that, or is it just the girl who's like...
Some nudity.
Yeah. I think it's just the girl who's topless, and she's only topless as she's getting dressed in the sort of warrior gear, which is...
It's like one or two other moments, but yeah, it's not like... It certainly isn't like any of the anime that they put on at the store, like, without knowing.
Yeah.
We were just like, whoa! He has how many of those? What?
Did they ever put on a tentacle monster one at the store? Yeah. They didn't.
There was, what was it called? Supernatural Beast City or something? Which has stuff in it.
I remember they were big addicts of Bubblegum Crisis, which I still sort of have a fondness for.
Bubblegum Crash, right? And
yeah.
Secret of Lotus War they watched. Or Record of Lotus War, rather. They watched a lot.
I remember, in terms of being denied things, that I was really interested in Joseph Michael Linsner, who'd done a bunch of pinup work, and I'd see previews, the magazine that comic... I don't even know if they still have this, but it was the magazine that people would order their comics through, the comic shops would order their comics through. So I'd pick up previews, and I'd see Linsner's stuff all the time, and he came out with a book called Drama, which was the first to ever feature his cover character, Dawn, in the pages of the book, and they wouldn't let me buy it. And I've since seen it, and there's like maybe two panels of nudity, like, that they wouldn't let me, as a 16 or 17 year old who they'd known for 3 or 4 years at this point, buy it.
Damn the man.
And yeah, and that Dawn went on to be one of my favorite books.
And this was before the internet, so this was a real problem for a brother.
This was a real problem. There was, of course,
there was internet, and there was internet porn, but it was hard to get.
One of the perks of working there was, you know, you could, if no one was around, check out the books that other people had put on reserve. And if you knew the customers, you knew whose stacks to check out. There was this dude a biker dude. We can say his nickname, right?
Yeah, his nickname was Weed.
His nickname was Weed. And
lots of leather, and he had like lots of metal in his face.
Yes, and he had this very, very big and lots of red bushy beard. I recall
he was an imposing figure, a sweetheart, but an imposing figure.
Yes, but he liked a lot of you know, if you were looking for the sexy time stuff, that was what Weed picked up, and so you just had to find
Weed. Just you, man.
Just me.
I was
me and Ken.
Moon Knight and being completely oblivious.
Moon Knight.
So apparently they're revamping. They've got some new writer on and are going to try to revamp Moon Knight.
Tried a couple of times, at least once.
I don't know what I saw in that book, but I read a lot of books. Honestly, I don't know. I read Avengers West Coast, so.
You even know that it was called Avengers West Coast and not West Coast Avengers.
I liked Avengers West Coast because it had like characters from Excalibur and things in it, and I liked Excalibur, and yeah,
I remember you liking Excalibur. You might have known him in high school, and I wasn't friends with him in high school necessarily, but I'm friends with him now. Brendan, he is an Excalibur fan. He's a Kitty Pryde fanatic.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it came down to. She was quite a cool character.
And in fact, he gets on me when I talk about Astonishing X-Men as the sort of book I would have my wife read if I was going to have her start reading comics, because Though Kitty is portrayed very well in the early going, something terrible happens to Kitty towards the end.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So he is very loyal to Miss Pride. But she is, I had never realized how much of a cool character she was until I read that series. So, I mean, that's got to speak for something.
There you go. Actually, it's funny. I was at an antique store. There it is again. Against my will, I was being held in...
Yes, you were being held at gunpoint by a person in a steampunk costume.
Yeah, I was there, and the clockwork guy from Hellboy was holding the place up. And while I was sitting on the floor, I looked over next to me, and there was this box of comics. And, you know, I'm like, we'll just flip through here. And there were all these New Mutants books, and I was just like, aw. I had this like wistful sigh of just, I remember the New Mutants. I liked the New Mutants.
But, they've tried to revamp that too. But most recently by bringing back the original New Mutants characters as sort of now, however much they've aged.
It's a little random.
Which was,
they're just going to randomly reintroduce Cable at some point?
I think they stuck with the sort of really early New Mutants, like pre-Cable New Mutants. Because they do have an X-Force book out right now, too, which is sort of what New Mutants became once Cable.
I quite liked X-Force, actually, back in the day. I remember enjoying that as well.
I did. I mean, it was edgier. You know, it was edgier than a lot of the other X-books. And I did like Cable, despite him being very, very 90s.
Have we managed to alienate everyone yet?
I don't know. I think every time you bring up something like being in an antique shop, we bring up like comics. And I think that wins back the people.
I didn't mean to do it. It was Nora's fault.
Oh, see, that's it. Dragged by the girlfriend or by the wife is a...
Well, not really. I drove, so dragged, but... No, see, we went up to Vermont for our anniversary and, like, rented a cabin and stuff, and it was quite cool, and it was very nice, and then we had to, like, do stuff. But when you're in Vermont, that, like, falls under the category of, like, scenery.
Yeah.
And driving and, you know, antiquing with people from New York. Because Vermont, I think, is largely populated by people from New York. Everywhere you go, it's like the New York deli, New York pizza, New York this, Brooklyn that. What the hell is Vermont? Get away from me.
Yeah, guys.
I'm here for hippies and hippies.
Can I have Vermont pizza?
Yeah, what the hell, guys?
Actually, would I want Vermont pizza? That's a...
I don't know. Do you like weed?
I've never actually partaken. So I don't know.
Well, it's hard to say. I don't know. But anyway, moving away from antique stores, we've been doing this for about an hour now.
Yeah.
So there's like a big Chris announcement coming up. I mean, first of all, we should point out that you're looking for interns for your website.
I'm no longer looking. I've found an intern.
Ooh, who's the intern?
Let's see. Can I say? But by the time this comes out, I think I will have said on the website. A girl who's by the name of Kara, and I don't want to try to pronounce her last name, which I mispronounce. Kara is a
Kara.
Incoming student at the Leslie MFA program. Basically, the MFA program reached out to alums and said, look, you guys have done tons of stuff for us. I've gone and taught a bunch of things. With the Web for Writers, I've done a number of summers that session. So, you've done a ton for us. What can we do for you? And I said, well, it'd be cool to have an intern, you know, because they were saying, you know, we know you guys have websites or publications or whatever. And so they sent out an ad, and I got 4 or 5 applicants. Kara just happened to be the strongest of them. So she'll be coming on board by the summer. Her first article will actually go up on Thursday or Friday.
What's the winning submission about?
She did a piece on movie monologues. Broke down some of the best ones, including Ferris, Ferris is the one that sticks out in my brain, obviously, because I think that's one of, you know.
So you're going to diss that guy who did the Greatest American Hero thing?
There was a guy, yeah. I did turn him down.
No love for the Greatest American Hero. No love.
But well, the one thing I said to all of the people who applied for the internship is that I'm always looking for writers. So it's actually, So I'm bringing on one intern to get, so they're going to get credit for it. They're going to help me with social media stuff, with writing articles for the site, and whatever. They also will potentially be invited, if you're cool with it, to bring them on the show, because we did have somebody say we should have
have an intern.
We have an intern.
Instead of it being a gag.
I know plenty of podcasts that I listen to like joke about like, oh, we got to have our intern do
that. We can actually stop the podcast and go, hold on, let's get research to look that up. And then we can continue.
So yes, I might invite Kara to come join the podcast if she's free. But all the other people are submitting articles. And this one guy, the guy Mark, who wrote the Greatest American Hero piece, he is doing a number. He's got another one in the pipeline already that I have for this week, and maybe another one for next week. And he gets the humor. He gets the humor plus the little bit. He's doing slightly longer form stuff than I've been doing, and part of the reason I haven't been doing longer form stuff is that it's gotten so busy here at the end of the semester.
Yeah.
But he totally gets what we're after, as does Kara, and in fact all of the interns kind of got it. It was pretty gratifying to see people got the style of the site. So, yep, we're gonna have an intern.
That's exciting. Well. So that's the one Chris announcement, and there's another one which is also embargoed until the 28th.
Yes, until the 28th. Yeah, I've been sort of teasing about it, and it kind of came out of nowhere. But I'm going to do a play.
Yeah.
In the fall.
Like acting in one, right?
I am. Yeah, I'm going to be the one of the two leads in a brand new play at the Players Ring. And. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. The other lead is Liz O'Connell, who was wonderful in Robot and Steampunk Theater. She was one of my castmates there and did multiple roles there. And she's going to be in Biloxi Blues.
Oh, cool! I love that show.
At the Ring in a couple weeks, nice. Which I'm definitely going to see once with Steph, but maybe if you want to go, we can go.
I like that. I'm a Neil Simon fan. And I was in Brighton Beach Memoirs. And
Did you do Eugene, or were you one of the other?
Yeah. I was Eugene Morris Jerome. It was quite exciting.
I've seen Brighton Beach, but I've never seen Biloxi, not the film or the play.
So. Oh, they're both good.
Yeah. I saw one person that I went to college with did a senior project where she was doing scenes from the trilogy along with musical numbers. It was it's kind of a weird thing to describe, but it worked wonderfully on stage. Ooh. So I've seen bits of Biloxi and Broadway Bound, but not the whole shows.
Yeah, Brighton Beach was quite fun. Doing that show was a little weird because I had to wear many layers of wool as befit the period.
Right.
And we built a two-story house, and the bedroom was up under the hot lights.
Oh.
Like, yeah. About 7 feet from the lights. So there were two run-throughs during Hell Week where I fell asleep. It was so hot. And I've got, like, a 5-minute waiting around for stuff to happen. You know, it just drifted off, so...
Oh.
Yeah, that's my finest theatrical moment. Is suddenly going, what?
Huh?
Oh, we're in a play. Okay. Thankfully, it never happened during a live show. But
yeah, well, that would be interesting, I suppose.
What you want, really, is just for the actor to go, huh, what? Who?
Well, if you did it in accent and you did it in character, you know, at least that would be something.
It was good fun.
The worst thing ever, is that the worst thing ever to happen? Well, you said it didn't happen on stage.
No.
What's the worst thing ever to happen to you on stage?
Or
do you not want to say?
There was kind of a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh.
I was doing A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I was one of the two lovers, and the person who was directing it, I think, was really inspired by the Kevin Kline film. So I've got my rustic garb on and I'm running around in the woods, and then it comes to the act five, where the wedding starts the act, and you know, I had to change into a tuxedo, but I had broken my ankle. So I had this massive boot cast thing on. And the change was 45 seconds.
Ouch.
I don't know if you've ever tried to
put
something on over a thing without ripping it. Because it was like a rented tux, so we couldn't rip it. Right. So I had to like carefully work it over the cast. Mm. Not something that takes 45 seconds. So there may have been one evening when I was like half on stage and my pants were kind of like half on. Just like, I'll just stay at the back of the crowd.
Right.
And then sneak off stage. But yeah, one night I kind of went semi-pantsless on stage, which Christopher Durang, that one was for you.
Not that you asked, but...
no, go ahead. Whatever. Mine,
I think I broke a couch on stage.
Nice.
Senior, and many people were mad at me because that couch was then not available for senior projects that year, including my own. So we had to go find...
In this evening's performance, the part of the orange couch will be played by the brown couch.
You remember... I don't know. Do you remember how heavy I was at the end of college?
Well, I guess. Yeah.
I was probably north of 220 at that point. And we were doing Speed the Play, which was Ives's tribute or roast of Mamet. Mm. And I had to race after a costume change and get onto the couch to do the next scene. And I leapt over the back of the couch and landed on it. And the couch went crunch. We were able to continue the scene and whatever, but just the couch was not usable after that. Yeah, that, and then the other one that I can think of was back in high school when I was on crew for Brigadoon, and the lighting guy brought the lights up while we were still in the middle of the set change. Yeah.
I think I helped rig those lights, actually.
And that's when we weren't talking, so are you going to admit that you were the one that, you know?
I may have. No, I'm sure it wasn't me. I was probably busy backstage talking to future girlfriend.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think I got a back rub from that future girlfriend that during that the run of that show at some point.
Start.
I wonder if there are people out there who don't know us That was an interesting period, and I remember that it was after Brigadoon that you tried to come up and like to be the better man and like come up to me and like and say, hey, why aren't we like we should talk again? And I was the one that was the asshole and was like, I don't know if I actually said anything bad to you or if I just walked away. But
that's funny how little changes. Oh, what? Sorry, I was thinking of something else. Yeah, well, what can you do? All right, so this will be in a play. Did you actually tell us what the play is?
I didn't, no. It's called At My Window. I did say that Liz was in it, and Liz is awesome. And I have to play the piano in it, which I have, I took lessons and I play here and there, but I have to learn the whole song.
I had to learn to play the accordion in 1 week.
Well, we don't go up until the beginning of September, so I've got a few months to...
Seriously, I had to learn two songs that carried the musical... On the accordion.
What musical was that?
It was Carnival, which is one of the worst musicals ever.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Our high school is putting on Miss Saigon this year.
Oh, good Lord.
Wait, is it Miss Saigon?
If they get like a helicopter, I'm out.
I mean, they have a whole auditorium now that they did not have when we were there, so. Have you been in that thing?
I would almost go. No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that this thing exists and is connected to our high school.
Won't it be soon? Weren't our musicals always at like early May?
Yeah, it's really soon. Last year I went, and we actually talked about it on The Goat. Last year I went with a few people.
I'll tell you what, if you go, I'll go. It'll be the first time I've set foot in that high school since like 1998.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up really quickly here, but... yeah, it is very soon. Hit the wrong thing.
We should all go, but I think we need to pregame it.
Yeah, we probably should if we're going to try to get multiple people. Yeah, Miss Saigon in May. May 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. Yeah, so next weekend.
That's when it always is.
Yeah.
All right, man. If you go, I'll go.
All right.
Who should we invite?
It's funny that the first person I always think to invite didn't actually go to our high school. I think of Andy.
That's true, though, but he was kind of part of the chorus.
He was.
We can invite some of our telekinesis going buddies.
That's true.
I guess we could throw it open on Twitter. Like, hey, you want to get drunk and see a High School Musical? Come on down.
I'm game for that. I've not seen Miss Saigon and
but we have to go. If we go, we have to go to the Hong Kong afterwards.
Fair enough. That's it. I remember the last time, last year, we tried going to a number of restaurants and ended up at the Hong Kong. I don't know why we didn't just go to Hong Kong to begin with, since that's more like the high school tradition than any of these other random places that...
We even went there after my college plays. We would go to Hong Kong. One time we went and ordered the poo-poo platter for 27, which was fun. Watch the guy go, what? Yeah, we want the one for 4, but there's 27 of us, so if you could just add 23 portions to that.
Yeah, that's not a big deal, is it?
You know, whatever. Or, you know, 6 of them and then one for 3. That's fun. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah. I've
seen so much money spent in the Chinese
food. So that's a bunch of things that we're going to do to further prove that we're not old, right? We're going to go see high school musicals.
Damn it.
we're going to go see, Biloxi Blues at a community theater. Well, it's not a community theater. It's a real theater.
Maybe we can get the early bird special before.
Not the community theaters aren't real theaters. So we're going to see a bunch of theater. That's going to show that we're not old.
Yeah, sure.
And we're going to go see Thor and some other things.
Kenneth Branagh is in Thor.
He directed it. I don't think.
God damn it. So let me get this straight. In order to prove that we're young and hip, we're going to go to a High School Musical where the only other people in the audience will be the parents. We're going to go to the late night Chinese food restaurant. Mm-hmm. We're going to go see a Kenneth Branagh film. And then you're going to learn to play the piano.
Yeah.
Great.
Great.
Good times.
We should go buy our cemetery plot now.
And... Don't be surprised, listener, if you find out that Chris and I were involved in some horrible police chase resulting from, like, stolen cheese doodles. Because because we might just be that desperate to recapture something. Can you hijack a swash puppy machine? Is that possible?
I don't know, but we should try. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. We'll try to come back with, you know, an episode that isn't a joke next time.
Yeah. Have we ever done that?
No, but we might have an intern. Maybe she can put us on the right track.
Maybe.
Maybe we could just make her job hitting you in the back of the head. Whenever you just wander off, thwack, and then I'll try to get someone over here to do that. Which rapidly
displayed a lot of guts. That sounds like a plan.
She says we need to raise a brand new army. And the flag of France so proudly she unfurled. And the people that she hated will be neatly bifurcated. And the British will no longer rule the world. She says it was a mistake to let them burn her at the stake. And she learned a lesson back there in the flames. So she's going to kill the Queen and then she'll rescue old Orleans. And it's really hard to hang around with saints. I think I ought to tell her that the English left in failure and they don't go back to France except on holes. But I saw her vivisect a man who wanted to correct her and the playground soon resembled Grand Guignol. She says we need to raise a brand new army and she marched us round until we couldn't stand. She says the nation she abhors will soon be writhing on the floor and the British will no longer rule her land. For the Dauphin who will come across the ocean and knows that God agrees with her complaints. So I'm hoping she'll ignore my English accent in her war, cause it's really hard to hang around with saints. She says we need to raise a brand new army, and the flag of France so proudly she unfurled. And the people that she hated will be neatly bifurcated, and the British will no longer rule. The British will no longer rule. The British will no longer rule the world.